Welcome to the Sprocket Podcast. This is where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Brandon Rhodes, and we are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
Yes, we are. We're trading the cue sheet back and forth because we don't have this shit memorized. We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
We're covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles, alternative transportation, arts and culture, communications, the internet, nectarini various, beers.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And various travels.
Yes.
This is a good beer. We should say that right up front. And without further ado, introduce our guest who's sitting here in the studio with us. This is Amos Hunter.
Hey, everyone.
Good to see you, sir. Thank you for joining us here.
Thanks for having me. Love the show.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. We should tell the story later. Maybe remind me about how we met at first, because that was entertaining.
Yes, creepy. But entertaining.
I just got back, and you, Brandon, just got back from a large traveling escapade. You
guys went legs tired.
To the coast, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we chilled out at the coast.
Yeah. Just an overnight or two nights?
Yeah, just one night. Took a nap. Walked around on the beach. It was very uneventful, but wonderful.
That's a good way to be, yeah. And I was doing the same thing, but on the other side of the mountains. I was in Sun River, Oregon, which is a gloriously planned for bicycles suburban development in the middle of the desert, which doesn't sound good, but it is. We were there for two nights and celebrating a friend's 30th birthday. So, yeah, a lot of sleeping, a lot of
happy
eating.
Birthday, a friend.
That's right, yeah. Jeremy was his name. Jeremy Fields.
Was.
It's too late. I already said
we
it.
We killed him.
We killed him with our words right here. But, no, it was good times. He was actually the guy that brought our bicycles out for us. Our friends brought bikes that we rode with, and so we... I should rephrase that to make it clearer. Our friends who we rode out with also brought their bicycles, so there wasn't room for ours. But Jeremy has a truck, and so he stopped by and picked up our bikes before he came out.
Friends with trucks.
Yeah, friends with trucks.
Probably one of the nicest things.
Definitely. I mean, combustion engines, I'm not a big fan for around-town use, but...
obviously, I mean, cycle trucks.
Let's face it, getting to Bend or getting out to the coast, I mean, you can do it by transit, but it takes a long time, and most of us don't have that much time. So here and there, having a truck that you can rely upon to transport your bikes from one place to another is great. Yeah, and this was Jeremy doesn't ride bikes a whole lot, but he went out. We tuned up one of those mountain bikes that was at the vacation house, and it was the typical story where mountain bikes are just kind of sitting in the garage, all lined up nicely, and none of them work. We were able to cobble together one bike that rode comfortably enough to get him around. So,
oh, well.
All five of us who were there actually were able to go and ride around. And Sun River has all these little dedicated bike paths. It's pretty great. Have you been there, Amos?
I haven't been to Sun River. I was just out in Bend, though, and riding in the desert is awesome.
It's pretty great,
it's
yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
What temperature was it when you were there?
This was 2 weeks ago. I went out for the Oregon Handmade Bike Show. And
oh,
it
right.
was... In Portland, I believe it was shit degrees and shit rainy, and in Bend it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It was like
yeah.
68, sun was shining, you know, stayed warm until like the moment we went back to the hotel to go to bed. It was just amazing.
That's a nice way to go. I think it didn't rain and it didn't snow. It was like frosting, I guess, both nights. When I was there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you get up in the morning and there's like blue sky and, you know, it's not too cold. It's not too wet. You can still make your way around easily. Yeah. Eastern Oregon is fantastic.
It's just great. I had no idea until I went out there.
Yeah.
We would just ride around. We were riding around one of the nights just down the streets. And, you know, the idea was just to get lost and kill time before the big Halloween party that night. And I just saw this little dirt trail. Just off, we were like downtown,
mm-hmm.
and I saw this little trail that just led off of the road, and so I just led the posse that way. And I was like, "Hey, well, you want to get lost? We could get lost.
We'll see what happens."
And so we follow it, and it just instantly becomes like some of the funnest riding I've done. And it was just, you know, like little hilly jumps, not too hard. It was sand, but it was like, you know, in such a way where we could ride it with our touring bikes, no problem.
That's nice.
We do that for about a half mile, and then the guy at the front just slams on the brakes. He gets to the top of this hill, and he looks over. He's like, we should stop here. and we get up to the top of the little hill and look down, and there's the Deschutes River, and it's like... just a bluff. Like we just, there was no stopping. It was like, had we gone a couple feet more, we would all have been the next news story.
It would have been like Lemming style, just kind of
yeah, totally.
Local jackasses right off,
right. Oregon handmade bike show leads to 3 deaths.
Seriously, yeah, it sounds like it. That it's a good thing you guys all stopped there.
Yeah.
That Deschutes River is beautiful, but damn cold.
I would imagine.
Yeah. I was. What's the quote from Mark Twain? Is something like, "There are lies and there are damned lies," something like that.
There are rivers. Yeah. Or damned rivers.
Or there is cold and then there is damned cold. Yeah. I think we were talking about that at some point. Just basically the idea that my wife Adele was out for a run yesterday morning.
And as she does.
As she does from time to time. And she ran across there's a bridge. There's like 2 bridges in Sun River, and they're not too far apart, but they're a couple miles from each other. And hard to access, I think, you know, from one to the next, it's a fair distance on foot. So she had crossed over and was planning on making this big loop, but couldn't find the other bridge. And so she apparently
just
said she was thinking about just going through the river, like, you know, diving in and swimming across. And I would say even in summertime, that would be a cold proposition, if not dangerous. In weather like we're having towards the beginning of winter here, it seemed like that would be a bad idea. So she said no, she did not do that. And
I lose every game of Oregon Trail that way.
Right at the dalles, man.
Why'd you buy all those bullets? You cannot use that many bullets.
It's true.
Way too heavy.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
if you're going for squirrels, you'll use them.
Oh, that's right. I'm going for squirrels.
Well, and how much fun was that? I mean, the hunting was always the best part of that game.
The only part of that game.
It really was.
I don't remember. That and just naming the characters like ass face and stuff.
And dying of dysentery.
Yeah. People you don't like.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And then just killing them on purpose. Take that, Sarah Rigatoni.
And someone at the Minnesota Educational Computing Consortium is rolling over in their grave or something.
It wasn't that long ago.
What can you do? It was like 30 years.
Oh, maybe they died of dysentery.
Their axles broke, actually.
Totally.
You follow? Yeah.
So there's that. I actually, in news of things that I've done in the past week that everyone's really excited about, I'm sure, I went over to Tom Labonte by Lentz Park of Tom's Cargo Bikes. He's building me a tall bike, and I rode the prototype. He's building another one for another person he knows. And so I rode that prototype on Thursday, which was fantastic.
Is it a tall cargo bike?
Yeah, in a manner of speaking. It's got these planked sort of cargo areas.
Extra cycle style kind of thing?
Think below you in between the wheels, not...
Right. You're going to look like the Beverly Hillbillies when they loaded up that jalopy.
Something like that,
it's like stuff all around you.
Precisely.
Grandma on top.
Yep. Yeah.
I guess it'd be on top of your shoulders.
I guess what I'm trying to say is you look like the grandma from Beverly Hillbillies.
Exactly, yeah. Well, there are pictures of Tom... taking the, it probably is.
And the beard.
yeah, striking resemblance.
There are pictures of Tom taking the cargo bike out for a spin, and his daughter is riding on one of the cargo platforms down below, which is pretty great.
Adorable.
So, but being up on that thing, I will post some pictures. I'll make sure put them up.
Well, the video.
Somewhere. The video is on YouTube. It's there already, so I'll make sure link to it.
I meant for all our dear listeners.
Yeah, so people can see me making a jackass of myself.
Yes.
Except the blind ones.
Well, exactly. I in the video, I actually climbed up leaning the bike against like a signpost, which is the cheater's way up. You're supposed to be able to mount and dismount those things, you know, kind of freestanding, which I later on did. Yeah. But it was nice to be able to start out kind of not worrying about the balance issues. Right. So, but it feels like being in a hot air balloon. That was what I was thinking of. Like,
yeah, it kind of does, right?
You
got that, like, you don't feel like you're connected to the ground. You feel like you're floating above it.
Right. I mean, I felt like I was connected to the ground because... Because
you fell.
No, that would be a good story.
Right.
No, the thing that happened to me was just like going over bumps because the wheelbase is so wide on this thing.
Yeah.
Instead of, I think typical tall bike construction is you've got one frame, another frame on top, and that's it.
Yeah.
But Tom of Tom's Cargo Bikes thought that was boring, and so he stretched out the wheelbase. So,
you mean it's long?
It's both a long bike and a tall bike.
Wow.
It's a big trapezoid.
it's a big bike.
We like to call it the inconvenient model.
An inconvenient bike.
Think of all the places you'd like to take this, and then think about how you can't.
So, the way it worked out was just like you would hit a certain bump, and then, like, you know, about twice as long as you would think it would take to hit the bump, it would happen again. And I'm sure the frame is sturdy, but...
But it's just far enough timing-wise that you're... Oh, mm-hmm. Wait.
Exactly. A little unsettling.
You get startled twice.
Exactly, yeah.
I was just riding over the existing Columbia River crossing bridge last night, actually.
Oh, yes.
And I was just thinking about how it was like really strong headwind. Mm. I was just thinking about how if I was in a tall bike going over that bridge, I would just be shitting myself.
I would imagine. Yeah, that's the Interstate 5 bridge, right?
Yeah.
Connecting Oregon to Washington.
Yep. My uncle, trivia, and very interesting to everyone, I'm sure, is the bridge lift operator of that bridge.
Is that right?
He does the overnight shift.
What's that job like?
I don't talk to my uncle very much.
Oh, okay, so you don't know.
He has mobile hotspots, so he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, right. Sure. No, I talked to him about it before, and he said it's mostly boring, and every once in a while something happens, but the sad part is that usually the thing that happens is a wreck and people get hurt. So,
no.
You know, he's the guy that always is the first call on that. I see you have a recording from one of those wrecks.
That's your uncle, actually.
Oh, okay.
Right. I'm sorry. That was tasteless.
We capture the...
There's nothing about an accident that's funny.
In this particular audio clip, in this particular clip, nobody was hurt. So
okay. All right. I guess, if no one dies, then it's okay to laugh at them.
Right.
Okay.
No.
Well, he says that, there's a window in which you can raise... the bridge, and it's like between the hours of 2 and 4 a.m. or something like that. You can't raise it when there's much traffic. So
as not to inconvenience the commuters.
Right. Well, because how are you going to get from your home in Vancouver to your job in Portland? But he says one day he was 2 minutes late on getting the bridge down, and he made the newspaper for just having the bridge up.
Really?
I-5 is closed, yeah.
Like his name was in the paper?
I think so.
Mm, okay. Yeah. Well, there you
Don't
go.
Don't look it up. I didn't say anything.
We won't say a thing. Well,
check the microfiche at the library.
Yeah. Brandon, anything else exciting happened to you since we last recorded? I mean, we were shit drunk last week, so.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
Yeah. I had a great time, but.
That was fun to listen to.
I'm glad to hear that.
It really was. Is this the hangover episode?
I suppose you could say so. I mean, my hangover is long gone now, but I've been working very hard to make up for it since.
Yeah,
thanks so
much. I don't know.
Okay. Well, hey, news headlines then, shall we?
Yeah.
How's the girl fit?
Nope.
Okay, what can compare?
Wrong.
Yeah, let's all just do it.
I like my bike. It's fast.
All right, here it comes.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike. It's fast.
I like my bike. It's fast.
All right, first up, by way of listener, Radimar.
I have no idea what that means. It sounds like a cool name, but...
Ramadar is backwards.
Yeah.
Radimar.
Also, it's not...
Almost a palindrome.
Aye. Type that into an online scrambler and see if anything comes out of it.
Yeah, that's a good Scrabble word.
Anagrams.
Yeah, Radimar.
Right.
Dennis, getting totally hung up on this
it's so cool.
Avatar.
That's a listener anyways.
Yes. Denver woman steals back her stolen bike while on a test ride.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's about the length of the article. It's one of those little quick update things. But Boulder, Colorado, yeah. The woman took it out for a test ride. She found it on Craigslist. Apparently, bike is stolen, was looking for another bike, and lo and behold, one that's very much like the one that she lost, which, in fact, is the one. She says, hey, can I take this out for a test ride, which is genius, and then and it disappears with it, reclaiming her rightful property. So
it's got to be a great feeling when you first find the bike that you used to have on Craigslist and think, oh, that's just like the one I lost. I'm going to be back with something just like it.
Yeah, seriously.
And then double that feeling with it actually being it.
Being the real thing.
Right. Yeah.
This is incredibly like my last bike.
Yes. And I remember I wished that would happen to me with, I lost a rain jacket here in town and I put up a lost and found on Craigslist and nothing ever came of that. But what can you do?
I'm sorry for your loss.
Well, thank you. I mean,
I want you to know.
Where's that sound?
Oh, which one?
The one you did when the people got in a wreck on the
bridge.
Oh,
right. Sorry. let's set it up again. It was the
Brock. I'm sorry for your loss.
No!
That's all
so worth it.
All Brandon's fault, I swear. He's the one.
I love finding ridiculous noises. They mean a lot to me.
Everyone needs
spring,
something.
Springwise, by way of Sally. In Paris, smartphones can now be used for transit passes. Is that the near-field communications? Is that what that is?
It might be. I'm actually just – oh, yeah, near-field communication technology. And what is this? How does it work? I'm not familiar with
it. Well, so it is to Bluetooth as Bluetooth is to Wi-Fi, just tinier. But okay. Yeah, you can like wipe. Where are we gonna go?
I'm sure that was the most simple way to describe it, but I still am so confused.
Yeah. No, you can if you have a device that has this, and there's like a thing you want to get information from or exchange information with. Uh-huh. You can only do secure contact swapping of info when they're like within 3 inches of each other or something like that. So like
one of those credit card things with you tap it on a car reader instead of swiping your card.
Something like that. Or like in Japan, I think they use it to like, if they see a poster of an interesting product, instead of a QR code, you can just put your phone up against it and it whoomp and adds that to your whatever. Or it opens up a
thing. It's the same technology that allows you to know if somebody is looking at you from behind. It's like that.
It is like that.
What is this new devilry? Yeah.
And in this case, it would be they've got that little swipey McDeal on the buses. So you can just swipe your fancy pants on the what have you.
Everywhere except Portland.
Well,
TriMet is the last transit agency to get on board with any sort of anything that makes it more convenient to pay for your transit.
No shit. It drives me crazy.
I love TriMet. They do a great job.
It's kind of weird that we're still on the dot matrix ticket and cash box, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they've upgraded the tickets in the past couple of years. Yeah. Like, they're nicer tickets than they used to. They have one of those little MasterCard.
They've got the
MagStripe
thing.
To make sure that you're not just printing them off the printer, as someone who I know who will remain nameless often did from time to time.
Scandal. Oh, you mean the little holographic kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it used to be the TriMet tickets here in Portland were purple, I think, and they were just printed on cardstock, and so
you make
that copy of those, a color copy of those at Kinko's or something,
and sell them
off by the thousands.
You could sell them for literally like dozens of dollars.
Yeah, I never tried it, but dozens of dollars. That's
dozens. You print a case of 1,000 of those.
So beyond my reach.
You can
make
like $20-25 off of that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a good thing to know, but you can't do that with this new technology, anyways. But
so
I love the idea that
your dollars are belong to TriMet.
Heyo.
I really wish I had some sort of,
a shout out to our
that's
going to
be
friends.
The next thing on the soundboard is
some sort of technology noise.
Ooh, let's do it.
Or just a reference to.
Yeah.
What the hell was the name of that?
Space Invaders?
That was a good game.
Oh, was it?
I preferred, what was it, Load Runner?
Road Runner, you're thinking? Well, the cartoon?
That was a cartoon. Load Runner. That was the one, aside from being...
like a dirty movie.
Might be, actually. I was thinking of what are those cargo trailers? Like, you've got Wells Cargo, which is one of the trailer makers. And then there's another one called Load Runner, which I think, as far as I know, is making a pun on this old video game title. But anyways.
Or the cartoon character.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I don't follow.
Right. Street Roots, by way of the Sadowski. A local homeless paper comments on Occupy movement and housing.
Ooh,
I would love to read that.
Yeah, it's a fantastic article. In short, Street Roots, it's a local paper. Guys who are down on their luck can sell this as a way to generate some extra income that, it's done in a way that people can trust. If you don't know who the guy is, it's easier than giving cash out for nothing.
Yep.
Oftentimes they have great writing about the issues surrounding homelessness, about... there's poetry, there's interviews, there's good stuff. So,
hey, listeners, you should buy one of those next time you see the guys selling them or the gals.
You should, yeah. And they're, I never
it's
have
a
cash
dollar,
anymore.
And
I should.
It's like you could put it in someone's cup, and you never know if it's going for it. But these guys, they have to buy their papers, and then they go out and they work, and when you sell them a paper, that money goes into their room for the night.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to sell enough papers to get a place to sleep.
Yeah.
And it's like the perfect little system of, you know, like working for what you have, but not having all of the opportunities in front of you just yet.
Right.
It's great. I mean, I'd rather buy one of those papers than just give somebody a random dollar any day.
Yeah.
I know. I stopped giving cash out to people who asked for it a long time ago.
Just credit cards now.
That's right.
No, Nearfield Communications. Nearfield Rock, yeah, actually.
Right.
Yeah, that little
I just swipe it by their QR code.
They've all got the square reader. Yes. any self-respecting hobo is going to have. Hobo,
exactly.
That's not nice. Homeless person.
Yes. I was actually debating as I was scripting the news, trying to figure out like if homeless was even like a sensitive way to describe it. But that was what they used on their website. So
I can never keep up.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I respect them nonetheless.
Indeed. Did you pull that up there, Brandon? Do you have the article?
Yeah, I got it here.
Yeah, I was just thinking they made some specific ideas of what people in the Occupy movement. Oh, let's see. No, sorry. The Occupy movement has been around. It's been happening. A list of demands from the group of occupiers down at the park downtown has been not yet forthcoming. And so some suggestions that this author for Street Roots made were just some specific things that the city could do to make it easier for people who are with limited resources to exist and have a good life as opposed to a life that sucks. So some of the stuff was just about let's see here. What is it? Like a $1 million secured for rent assistance this winter to protect vulnerable renters from losing their housing. Always less costly and more humane to preserve housing than to restore it, which is a good point. You know, once you lose your place and you lose your rental history and all that stuff, it's really hard to get it back. So if you can help people that are in that place right now, that goes a long ways towards staving off more problems in the future. Not just for the folks that are renting or finding a place to live, but all across the board, and a bunch of other things there. So it's well worth the read. And yeah, Rob Sadowski from the BTA is the one that tweeted that earlier. So yeah, it was a Woot tweet.
Yes. That was a Woot for Rob.
Wooter. Bike Portland school. You all right there?
There we go. Oh, all set.
Thank you. Bike Portland, something about the school custodian establishing a bike club for kids in Hillsborough.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, here it is. Yeah.
I grew up out yonder.
Yeah. Also, this custodian has a fabulous mustache. He's one of the guys, like, you can't, I don't know if you guys can
one
see
one of the best mustaches
the
I'd say I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. I mean, that's
it's
the
contrasted.
Sort of
he's got white hair, black mustache. Mm-hmm. It's perfect.
Well, you know, some people have a mustache on their face and it doesn't quite work. This man has a face that
he does it. He wears it well.
It's built for a mustache.
Yeah.
Like he would look weird.
Yeah.
He would look weird without one. So anyways.
Right. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Seriously. This guy, basically, it's kind of a lot like
that mustache wears him
in my country. This is kind of like the story we talked about. Was it last week about the teachers that had the bike club in Gresham?
They had mustaches.
Right.
They were teaching kids how to ride bikes and how to fix them and all that.
I remember nothing about the last episode.
Not a damn thing, sir.
Remember?
Yeah.
anyways, there's a teacher here quoted in the Bike Portland article talking about how this thing all got started. Last year, a student was having trouble with fractions, and he needed work done on his bike, so John, the custodian, taught him fractions while also teaching him how to fix his bike. Pretty soon, the student's friends were bringing John their bikes, and he was teaching them how to fix them as well. And with that, the bike club was formed at my school. Now he has student crew leaders leading teams of students who are fixing up bikes and donating them to charity. There's no community cycling center in Washington County, so this is a pretty unique program.
So
it's
cool.
Great story, yeah. And I love the idea that you're teaching young people how to do this because everyone knows that, you know, the attrition rate for bicycling is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
Like you ride your bike when you're a kid and then all of a sudden you realize that you're going to get your driver's license. So you grab that. And then, you know, it took me until I was 25, mm-hmm. I think, to start bicycling like with any sort of regularity again. Mm-hmm. So if you can have people that are kind of giving kids a leg up and saying, hey, this is a cool thing to do. It's worth your time. That's awesome. So anyways, John, what is it?
Go John.
John Sarazen.
John Mustachio.
That's right. He's a good man. So anyways, we're excited about that.
There we go.
There it is.
Again from Bike Portland, Spencer Boomhauer on residential neighborhoods versus freeways.
That's right. And I think, did you read this one? You at least saw the map that we were passing around the other day about what Portland, the city in
yes.
Oregon, would have looked like with freeways instead of the neighborhood streets that it has now.
Yeah.
The article that came from is here. And, yeah, Ahem. Spencer Boomhauer. He's a guy that is doing a guest article.
No,
for
I think
a,
it's Schrenzer, yeah.
Schrenzer Boomhauer. I don't know if he listens or not. If he does,
it's
he's
French.
Be
hey, Spencer.
Wonderfully entertained right now. But Amos, have you seen this?
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
Yeah,
it's fantastic
Spencer,
in a horrific sort of way. But this map
well, yeah.
of what Portland could have looked like. There are, what, one, two, three, four, five?
It's
six or seven yeah. additional freeways in addition to the ones that we have now.
And imagine, like, how much suck that would be. Like,
that's a lot of
you
suck.
You know how
sir.
Much suck it is to be, like, to try and go from Mississippi Ave to interstate?
No kidding.
There's so much suck there because of that freeway.
Yeah.
You can hardly do it. The community's walled off. It's just crap.
Yeah.
Imagine that all over town where you just have these little pockets that were literally barricaded away from the others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be awful.
It would be terrible. And that's the point that Spencer is making in this article that he wrote. But he lives on one of the streets, 52nd Avenue. I use that oftentimes going.
Oh, that's a great
town.
Billy Joel record too.
What was that?
Yeah.
52nd Avenue?
52nd Street.
Oh, that's right.
It's, it's the next block down.
Oh, okay. it was a good good article though, because he lives down there and he can compare and contrast like what this neighborhood would be like you know had these changes been made and had the asphalt been laid and the pilings been set up and all the bridges you know, not to mention as you go back and look at the map here again, Mount Tabor is one of those beautiful places here in town where you can climb up and look over the city, and I can't imagine Mount Tabor would still be above the freeway, but instead of looking down on all the beautiful neighborhoods and the water reservoirs and everything like that, you would the primary, I guess, view on that mountaintop would be a freeway.
What the fuck are people's problems? Like, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, it's blowing my mind.
This is
like the 52nd and these like how awesome these neighborhoods are.
Yeah,
and how wonderful it just vaporized, gone.
Have you ever seen like the well, you know the story with the Mount Hood Freeway, right?
Yeah, that was so the like one that was flaunted, right? Or flaunted.
Yeah, no, flaunted. Yeah,
is
they
that the
put
right
it
word?
In a little dress, and they they just had it walk back and forth, and everyone did cat calls.
They kept it from happening.
Nice
you
ass.
Flaunted.
False.
Oh, hey.
Did you see what I did there?
For you listeners, Brandon just got six high fives.
My hands are sore.
Hey-o.
That's right. No, it was great. It was a good story. What were you going with that? Just the idea
Mount
that...
Mount Freeway. I mean, it was as good as built, and the citizens of Portland stopped it. But if you go, like...
Right.
Somebody did a bike ride. It was actually one of the first group rides I had ever been on, and I believe it was Sean Granton of Urban Adventure League.
Hmm.
And
hey, I need to talk to him someday.
Yeah, you should.
Okay.
And he took us out, and he basically rode. We rode where the freeway would go, and it's just miles and miles of great communities, parks, houses that would have been just razed, just
yeah.
completely destroyed. And it's like, I mean, there's a park, Piccolo Park, is.
Piccolo
was,
Park.
Piccolo
that
Park
sounds familiar.
It exists only because of that freeway project, because it used to be homes. They had already started bulldozing. They knocked down some homes.
Wait, is that over on off of Clinton Street?
I'm going to say yes.
You know what? I think I have, at this point, I have a student that I drive on my school bus that lives very near to that park.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So Piccolo Park used to be homes, and they had already started bulldozing. That's how close to the wire it was.
That's kind of sad,
they knocked down those
actually.
Homes. Very sad. But that was only one block out of... You know, dozens that would have been gone, I'm sure.
Yeah, and not to mention that, I mean, that little stretch of Division Street there is one of the coolest spots as far as, like, a Better Cycle is there, which is one of my favorite co-op cycling
yeah.
Shops.
Love that place.
You got all the, what is it, Pizzicato,
mm-hmm.
which is actually, that's the site of the famous story in which Starbucks was wrenched out of its location by the residents of the neighborhood,
yep.
where they said, wow. hey, we don't like the big corporate entity being here, and said, Starbucks, get the hell out, which is, to my knowledge, the only... place where
what
Starbucks
intersection
is,
was that at?
It's like 21st and Division Southeast.
Fucking A, that's
yeah.
cool.
And it's a Pizzicato pizza shop now, which is a locally owned chain here in Portland.
Yep.
But it's a fantastic story.
Give them 10 years and we'll be talking shit about how corporate they
yeah,
are, too.
That's right.
Sure. No, they don't. Their pizza's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't think I've ever had their pizza.
It's all right.
You got to respect that. Yeah. I mean, you know, they got a successful business.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the same people who said probably, you know, we don't want this freeway here are the same people who said we don't want this Starbucks here.
Yeah, and, or their kids, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. Anyways, I love the idea
of... A bunch of residents that just turn to the west and say, fuck off.
Yeah, totally.
We live here.
One, what, it's called the Hand neighborhood. Is that the right neighborhood?
Hosford Abernathy.
Is that the right hood? Because I can see Hand, but it's just with one finger.
Hey.
That was a long walk for a crap joke.
Oh, goodness. It was good times, though.
Thank you. Ooh, the crickets.
It was the first one. I just wanted to see what
crickets.
Yeah, it's all good. Hey, let's
let's see the next
wrap
one here.
This up.
Portland Eyes. Dave Fitch.
Foyt.
Foyt. Post some fantastic photos.
Is he related to Smith?
He's related to Spritzer.
Yeah, Dave Foyt posts some fantastic photos of our city in autumn colors.
Yeah, it's a beautiful beautiful little photo gallery here. Let me just roll these up here slowly so you guys all can see them on the computer screen. But,
for you viewers at home.
That's right. Well, you're going to have to do this. You have to roll along on your own computer, I suppose. But, Dave Foyt, he's a fantastic gentleman, stand-up gentleman. I actually bumped into him at the Fred Meyer over near his neighborhood when I was buying, like, potato chips or something else embarrassing. And I bumped into him. I was like, Dave? He said, yes. And I got to see his little Raleigh. These cloud pictures are great, by the way.
Those trees.
Yeah, these are really great pictures.
Yeah. So, anyways, his camera and his
oh, yeah, those fog days
photographic
were great.
Aptitude.
I'm glad he caught some of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, that's it. Just keeps going on. Like we're scrolling at a fairly good rate through these photos, and there's lots of them. So,
I'm glad you shared that.
Ah, thank you, sir.
You're taking a lot of responsibility in owning and riding a bicycle. You are now an operator of a wheeled vehicle.
All right, so we'll take a quick break here, so I can empty my bladder, and then we'll be right
ew.
Back on the other side. With a more detailed conversation about Bikecraft. The Bike Temple, and Amos Hunter's various exploits on a bicycle out and about. So, we'll see you right there on the other side. We're back on the Sprocket Podcast. This is Brock Dittus, that's Brandon Rhodes, and we're here with Amos Hunter of various things and projects and stuff.
Best way to describe me.
you were just telling a story, actually, when I cut you off and said, hey, we should share this with everybody. So you're talking about the sexy bike bag that you brought with you here.
This bag is amazing.
Yeah, and who made it again?
This is a North Street bag.
Okay.
So it's a convertible Panier.
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 Does Spencer know about these?
Panier. Yeah. And backpack. And it works great as both. It's awesome. The model's called the Woodward. NorthStreetBags.com, I'm sure. Anyway, so I got this. I acquired this bag at Film by Bike 2 years ago. And I was at Film by Bike, and I had already had a sufficient amount of beverage for one evening. But earlier in the night, I had pulled out some cash.
And we should say Film by Bike. For anybody who's not in Portland and might not know about it, it's fantastic.
Is that exactly what it sounds like?
It is. It's an independent
film
festival.
It's not necessarily by bike.
Right.
It's filmed about bike.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just it's a bike fest on the screen on film for anybody who wants to come and see it for like 3 days.
So it's almost what it sounds.
So you're here,
right? It's a film bit.
You're a little bit, as I said, schnockered.
I was a bit on the clenched side, floated. I was a bit spinfluid.
Yeah.
Anyway, I show up with my beer money, but me being the judicial gentleman that I am, I realized that I shouldn't be drinking more, and then riding my bike home, and so I used my beer money on raffle tickets.
Ah.
And that was the smartest investment I have ever made.
That explains it.
$20 on raffle tickets. And
your beer money for that event was 20 bucks. That's awesome.
I don't mess around.
Festival.
Yeah, no, I mean, why even bother going if you're not going to drink?
Seriously.
And so I...
the films?
Oh, right, yeah. There were films. Yeah, true. So I bought $20 worth of raffle tickets. I won every fucking thing.
Everything.
I mean, no, I think one person won one thing. There were like five prizes. I won four of them.
Right.
And so this bag was one of them. I won just a ton of other stuff. So the first time they did the drawing, the first thing they did was the bag, and that's what I really wanted. That's why I bought the tickets, and I won it, and I was just like over the moon. So I was like yelling like, yeah, what now? You know, in the theater.
And then you filled it up with the rest of the prizes.
So after I made a dick of myself the first time, then they just kept calling my numbers, and I was like, that's me again! By number four, I think I was yelling "pay to play, motherfuckers" into the crowd.
I suppose that's
and I do feel bad about that.
Were people cheering or booing?
No. I was not a very liked man at that point. They wanted to win themselves. I mean, they put a buck in or something.
And who can blame them? I mean,
I got all kinds
of stuff. And you dropped
stuff.
20. Well, that's lesson learned. Today I learned right? that I am going to go to these events and just
raffles, man.
Drop
I'm
a
telling
50.
You, raffles.
Yeah, I think I've tried it. The Bouncing Souls would call that bullying the jukebox. I think.
Word.
No, totally.
Obscure.
But anyway, so that's
still need to get a slow clap.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. I am here all night. Try the veal. So,
dead air is good for podcasting, right?
Why? You'd be surprised. I think it actually is.
Oh, okay.
I think we actually tend to skew towards like a,
we fill in every possible moment.
Should we have a moment of silence just to make it interesting?
Okay. there we go. All right, so it's been done.
All right.
I guess people have to tell us if that was healthy or not.
Yeah, everybody tweet into Sprocket Podcast.
It's at Sprocket Podcast.
At Sprocket Podcast. And
you have to
let us know.
Do we still have to say the at?
You, I think that's
yeah. with, like, that's how you know it's Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You say at Sprocket Podcast.
Easy for you to say, sir.
Voight.
I was just saying Spencer's name.
Speaking of Mr. Boomhauer. So,
all right,
no, I was just
guys.
Thinking we could segue from the
we're
story.
Snagging on everything possible here.
Totally.
As
never
we going
to get out of port.
Let's have a seamless transition into the next
So thing. You won the bag.
I won the bag. It's amazing. It's waterproof. It's a backpack convertible to a pannier. I use it every day. I've used it on long bike tours. I've used it on grocery runs. By the way, you guys.
You carried some beer in with it tonight.
Oh, I carried a growler here.
Wow.
Yeah. Which we're drinking.
Yeah. But you were about to say, by the way, something. I just kind of, yeah.
By the way, this is my pro tip, and I hope you guys haven't discovered this because I always feel so cool when I talk about it. Pro tip, life hack, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Panniers hang from the side of shopping carts perfectly.
Good goddamn.
So you bring your bags in on a grocery run, you hang them off the side, you fill up your cart with your shit so you don't look weird throwing them in your panniers already.
Right. So
then you go check out, they're hanging off the side of the deal, you throw them right back in, mm-hmm. out the door. Oh, it's amazing.
That'd be an easy way to be tagged for shoplifting.
Yes.
But
right.
But with the shopping cart, you can, like you say, hang it on the side.
And it's harder for me because I always wear like a dark hoodie and a bandana over my face when I shop.
They think you're Abby Hoffman.
Yes. Actually, that's not the first time that mistake has been made.
Right.
No, I find nylons are just way more, less attraction.
Yeah, but you know what I hate is when I get a run on my face nylons. When I'm wearing nylons on my face and I get a run, it's so embarrassing.
Then they're just shot.
The people I'm robbing are always like, ew.
Nothing you can do. Yeah. They think that you're unstylish and they won't give you the money.
No, right. Yeah, I hate that.
And you're wearing white after Labor Day?
Ew.
Why is the effeminate voice?
That was a good. That's a good. Good life hack, sir. I like that.
Thank you.
So, I've never thought about that at all.
Bike. We need to have bike hacker.
Seriously,
I think that's a thing.
We can sell it to those Gawker motherfuckers.
I'm gonna trademark it and get the domain name.
GoDaddy that shit before anybody else, Brock.
GoDaddy.
I'm looking up bikehacker.com right now.
Just bikehacker.
Welcome. This domain was recently registered at namecheap.com.
By me!
Did you just Siri that?
I got it like 2 seconds ago when you were looking it up.
Brock, why
iPhone
are you such
bitches.
A slow typer?
I guess, yeah.
There was an app for that. Okay, anyway.
The segue I was going to make was that you can have one of these bags. Any person at all could get a bag like this.
Hey, you
this.
Guys!
Well, wait, no. So, yeah, supposing I'm curious
let's
about...
Let's say you wanted a bag.
Hypothetically
like
speaking.
I wish there was a place wherein you could find bags like this.
I wish there was a place where like they were all together in one spot.
Locally
well, and,
made,
and not just one company,
handmade.
But like several vendors.
If there were only like a great group of vendors in a really great spot, and let's say it was like a two-day show organized by one of the most handsome men in town.
My goodness, such a thing could not be possible.
Where's that cricket noise?
Oh, boy. Actually, I was referring to my partner, Aaron.
Oh,
there we go.
Go.
Yeah, perfect.
Man. So, hey.
I don't,
so, hey.
That couldn't exist. That's too good.
Well, you got... No, you're not going to believe this.
No, shut the fuck up.
No,
it's
you're
too
not,
good.
Brandon, you are not going to believe this.
I won't.
Okay.
I have a hermeneutic of skepticism.
Well, you sound resistant. We must go deeper.
Okay.
All right, folks.
The joke is collapsing. Go on. Right.
Hey, everyone. Bikecraft.
Bikecraft.
What do you think?
That'd be a great name for it.
No. It, Brandon, it's a thing.
It's actually
it's a thing. No, it's a thing. Yeah. Hey.
This is amazing.
I want to tell you about this. On second thought, let's not go to Camelot. It's a silly place.
It is.
Yeah.
It's only a model.
So it's a real thing.
So myself and my partner, Aaron, we are organizing Bikecraft this year. It's the 7th year. And Bikecraft, for those of you who haven't been, is great. It's
the best thing you could possibly want?
No, I mean better, probably.
Really?
You couldn't even think of this. This is like, think of the best thing you want. Ew, Brandon, gross. stop thinking of that. Gear it more towards bikes.
Yeah.
And then double it. Bikecraft is local, handmade, bicycle-related accessories, art, gifts for the bike lover and the lover of the bike lover.
Hmm.
So
you don't even have to have a bicycle yourself to go and shop here.
As long as you love someone who has a bicycle.
There we go.
That's all we ask. So it's December 3rd and 4th. It's at Sandbox Studio.
Mm-hmm.
You can find all of the information about it at bikecraftpdx.com.
And I suppose the PDX part is important.
Yeah, it's at the airport.
Yeah.
And I was guessing Union Station.
That's a joke. It's not actually at the airport.
Nobody
goes.
We're going to get thousands of people just walking around looking for crafts.
That's our
airport.
Tin can code for it.
They're all crowding in the Made in Oregon store.
Seriously, where are the bike things?
Yeah. Okay. Seriously, it's great. This is an event that this is the 7th year that it's happened. Jonathan Moss and his team at Bike Portland in the past have always organized and presented this event.
Mm-hmm. So this is the first year that they have not done it?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So you, it was handed down to you, bequeathed
right,
from
right.
above.
It was bequeathed.
I think you said that wrong, sir.
No, sounds right.
Okay.
It smells weird. Sounds right. Where were we? Jonathan's a friend of mine. We got to talking this fall about what would happen at Bikecraft and what Aaron and I could do along the lines of it to help out or whatever. And Jonathan's working with a very scaled-down staff right now.
Right.
That is to say, he doesn't have one.
Smaller than he used to be.
Right, right. And he's lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that, we brought up some ideas. We were enthusiastic of the event. One thing led to another, and Aaron and I are now putting the show on.
That's
now,
exciting.
Jonathan, Bikecraft... Bikeportland.org is still presenting the show, doing all of the great things that he's always done with it. But we're doing all of this sort of like small stuff just to get it going.
Yeah.
There's a lot of small stuff, but it's small.
I have a link here open on the internet next to me.
Yeah, isn't that great? I love all those pictures.
Yeah, just all the vendors that are going to be there. Not all the vendors have pictures, but most of them do.
Yeah.
And most of them look awesome.
Like we're still growing the vendor list. I mean, we get new signups almost every day for vendors. We're going to eventually hit a maximum of around 60 vendors, which in a space that we're having, which is about 13,000 square feet, that'll fill it up really nicely.
Yeah, seriously.
So, I mean, it's cool. It's stuff like North Street bags, like we were talking about, that mm-hmm. deal I won. It's art. You're looking at some Blackstar goods there. He's got top tubes and hip pouches and that sort of thing. We've got Red Bat Press, who does these amazing prints and gift cards, that sort of thing. Little Package, doing really great hats. Boy, what else? All kinds of stuff. I mean,
basically, if you want all those nice things, you can get REI. But if you'd rather have it be made locally,
you'll
do it at Flair, and you've got the quid to drop. This is the place to be.
Yeah, the quid. No, you're still on the Australian from last.
Quid I have, sir. Quid I have.
Oi.
Check out the this one here, the Rebicyclist?
Rebicyclist.
Rebicycle.
Yeah,
I was thinking it was a rebel thing, but it's more just like rebicycled. But no, they have this belt here that apparently it looks as though it's made out of the links from a bicycle chain.
It's amazing.
But
it looks like it's something from Hot Topic, but witty.
Hey,
in the manner of one of those.
No, I'm like, it's got that kind of like punk look thing, but
it looks better than that.
Yeah. What do you call it? It's not a studded belt, but a belt with all the little holes in it.
holy belt.
A holy belt.
Okay, yeah. Exactly. It's, right. I used
the
to
one
have
the Pope
one
wears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It it
the
just...
Pope shops on top of it.
That's right. No, it's Pope, the Pope.
The Pope shops at Bikecraft.
That's right. No, I had a
Bikecraft. Hide your kids.
Bikecraft is not affiliated with any religion.
That was a terrible joke, sir. No, the belt that I had like this fell apart some time back, so I need something like this that looks cool, because right now I'm wearing like a dad belt. It's just like
it's
black.
Cool. I've seen this stuff. So. It's really cool. I mean, honestly, yeah. This stuff is super great. The idea here is gifts. This is a holiday fair. It's the 3rd and 4th of December. It's perfect timing for your gift shopping. So you're going to find a ton of stuff that is way more unique, most likely better quality, and locally made stuff that appeals to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to go to Hot Topic for it. You know,
right.
That's the thing. You don't have to go to the mall. You don't have to go to the freaking day after Thanksgiving sales.
Right.
I mean, there's a huge conversation going on right now nationally that is, how does your everyday lifestyle and your everyday person support local economies?
That
without,
conversation is called the Sprocket Podcast.
It's called the Sprocket Podcast.
It's also called the Occupy Movement. It's also called many other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is not called
Twitter.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. It's not called Bob and Zad in the Morning.
Exactly.
This is the idea. We want to give like the best outlet possible to do gift shopping, and make it easy, make it fun,
mm-hmm.
and still be completely local centric. Support small, you know, startup businesses, small people with like great ideas. I'm not saying they're small people. Some
small
of them are very tall.
Come on.
Too.
Listen, I have nothing
that
against short
been
people.
Canceled for you.
What is this, a bike sale for ants?
It needs to be at least
at least 3 times bigger than this.
Honey, I Shrunk the Cog. Gross. You can edit that out, right?
No, I can't. No, there's no possible way. Since this is live.
All right, so I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to overplug this thing because I know that people already love the event. I'm just trying to remind you that it's happening the 3rd and 4th.
Right, and that's pretty close to Black Friday, or what? Black?
Yeah, it's like the next weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
if you're still
grayish,
alive.
Yeah, right, if you haven't been trampled by the crowds.
Right, in
pursuit
of
seriously,
stocks.
Sleep in. Don't even worry about it. Come get yourself some nice Walnut Studios leather stuff. You get something from Bikosaurus. You get something
some
from Sarah
Collins.
Some
amazing things you guys are selling.
Dude, no, it's crazy. I went
through the website and was amazed at the cool shit.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. Johnny.
Every time we get a new vendor, I'm like, sweet. And I know I'm going to spend way too much money just, you know, myself there. But
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Johnny Olivan. Reduced Bikes. I don't know if we talked about him or...
Yeah,
I think
you did.
We mentioned him sometime back. Yep. Yeah, I actually I tried to get in touch. He's a pretty busy guy, so I'm not sure if we'll be able to get him on the show or not. Maybe I can show up.
Dude's like the mob boss of crazy bike cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So he's going to be there with some of his awesome bikes.
Yep, it's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have to say too much. There's great stuff. Again, bikecraftpdx.com. You get anything you need to know about it. We really hope you can come. Oh, there's going to be beer.
Is there going to be beer?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Hey, now I'm there.
Oh, and Film by Bike. Funny, we mentioned them twice.
Yes, we did. That's filmbybike.org.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say yes.
Hang on, let me check.
It's google.com.
Actually, what?
And then in the little field, you type in Film by Bike.
I thought it was thegoogle.com. Okay.
Yeah, it's thegoogle.com.
I want to know what thegoogle.
It is not.
Filmbybike.com is one of those generic websites.
Do not go to filmbybike.com.
Although you can make an offer on the domain name.
I'd like to offer $3, please.
Rejected, apparently.
Filmbybike.org.
$1.
.org.
There we go. But,
So there, Aileen, who is the brains behind Film by Bike, is organizing for Bikecraft a lounge, which will be like this great, like, carpeted with couches. They're going to be showing films. You can hang out.
Nice.
It'll add sort of that dimension. I mean, this is the only thing going on this time of year,
right,
where everybody from the community can get together and hang out. And so we wanted a space.
Pop wheelies.
We wanted it not to just to be about like shopping and browsing, but like actually hang out, you know,
right,
have a good time.
I'll tell you, I was at Film by Bike as well, but I was at Bikecraft a couple of years ago, and it was at the Lucky Lab, I think, down in Northwest.
Yeah.
And it was cool. It was great.
Really grown since then.
But there wasn't a whole lot going besides the vendor. The vendors were great. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Once I was done kind of perusing and going through all the stuff, there wasn't anything else to do.
This
lounge is going to be a great place to sit down and enjoy some entertainment, some locally produced bicycle-centric stuff.
And like the BTA is going to come by and carol like they do every year. They'll be caroling from the BTA. My band, if I may plug them.
Please do, sir.
Honky Tonk Prison. We'll be doing a show or two.
Is that prison or prism?
Prison.
Okay.
As in, lock me up and throw away the key because this is great.
Because it's honky tonk.
Yeah, we are an 8-piece ukulele classic country cover band.
Hey now.
So,
you use some Sons of the Pioneers?
Could
sons
you be convinced
of,
to?
Sons,
yeah.
Yeah, do some tumbling tumbleweed? No?
Yes. Okay. No, this is I'm sorry, I misled you. It's not good classic country.
Okay.
It's the crap. It's the awkward,
Reba McEntire,
sexually elusive stuff where it's like, you know, where they say, like, I want to love you hard instead of, like, being graphic about it. You know, it's like the Conway Twitty.
Oh,
it's the old drunk George Jones stuff. You know, really.
But with ukuleles.
With all ukuleles.
Eight-piece
ukulele. We do have one bassist.
That's pretty awesome.
That we let him in.
A bass ukulele.
We let him in because it's a four-string. it's basically a huge ukulele.
Right, exactly. That's nothing. A bass is nothing but that.
Right. Yeah. We actually just got back from our first tour.
Really?
Yesterday. Yep, we played Portland, Oregon on Saturday, and Vancouver, Washington on Sunday.
Nice. So, where did you play in Vancouver?
That's how you were coming over the thing.
Yes.
Okay.
We played at the Niche Wine Bar, which is owned by the same lady, Leah, who owns Inks Gallery downtown. She is a significant of Todd Boulanger.
Oh, right. That guy. I got to talk to that guy, too.
Oh, he's a goodie. Right. He's a goodie.
Yeah.
But enough about me and my ukulele country band.
How about you and your other things?
Hey, yeah.
Wait, hang on. How did you guys first meet in person?
What, Brock and I?
I knocked on
his door. He answered.
He showed up here. He had beer. I said, all
right,
come on in.
Right.
No, we were out. Brandon, you and I, we had already taken one lap at the Sunday Parkways, which is where they shut down streets and let bicycles take them over.
Mm-hmm.
To the consternation of neighbors, apparently.
Humorous bicycles whenever possible.
That's right. Oh, hey, and let me show you. This is that's what we heard this guy say.
I'm a bikineer.
I've been waiting to play that for so long.
I'm a bikineer.
Yeah, there was a guy going. He was salmoning the entire event.
Oh, yeah.
Was he?
There's no. You don't salmon. It's a two-way, isn't it?
No, he.
It is a two-way. It's a two-way street, so to speak. But
just
like
he was going against the flow. As a fucking bike pirate.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty great. I'm
a bikineer.
Let's hear that just one more time.
I'm a bikineer.
So good.
Love it.
Yeah. Courtesy of K2, by the way. We were out doing our second lap when we were just on our regular bicycles. And I think the Bike Temple had a thing set up out there.
Oh, the Bike Temple. Yeah.
Yeah, you were with their installation somewhere south of Lentz Park, but north of Foster.
Yeah, right.
And I said, hey, Bike Temple stuff, how's it going? What are you guys up to? That whole thing. And we were hanging out, talking, having a conversation. And you, I believe, said, I know your voice or something like that, right?
Yeah, weird, right? I let me back up a bit.
Please do.
My side of this is that I'm a very big fan of the local band Tango Alpha Tango.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Tango Alpha Tango is my favorite Portland band.
Mm, they're good.
And
they're playing again soon.
Playing again soon. Oh, and if you go to TangoAlphaTango.com, they're doing this really great sort of homespun deal where they you can pay them money in advance for their album,
right,
and it lets them record their album. It's like Kickstarter, but just them.
Noise trade, then.
Better, yeah. And they get to do it regardless of if they hit their goal.
I like that.
So anyway, I was stalking them one day. And they said, hey, we just had our song play on the Sprocket podcast.
That's right. Yeah.
I was like, the Sprocket podcast?
That
podcast
cool.
About bikes? Why, I ought to listen. So this was like the spring, so I listened to a couple episodes, really got into it, had a good time. Went to Sunday Parkways with the Bike Temple as Deacon Amos. And we were there blessing bikes, and This you roll up with. I think you had a huge trailer at the time. Maybe not.
I think we might have dropped.
You had already
off,
done a pass.
We had been by once before. Yeah.
And you stopped and you said, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" And I said, "That's creepy because your voice is in my head for some reason, and I don't know who you are, but I know your voice."
You're saying my dulcet tones came across the airwaves.
Yeah. No, there's nothing weirder than being like, I know I don't know you.
Right. Right.
But that voice has been haunting me. So.
Well, it's. Generous of you, sir.
That's how you met your wife, actually.
Right.
That's right. It's all stalking. It's all you do.
Romantic. So, yeah, it's so you ran into me there. We were at Sunday Park. Yeah. Well, okay. So the Bike Temple. The Bike Temple is a movement. It's a non-organized movement with some key players, myself being
it's
one of them.
It's really more of a flow.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The idea is to connect bicycling and religion.
Uh-huh.
And there are so many ways to do it. Sure. Most of them are fun. Some of them are boring, but we try to do them all. The reason is the sort of, you know, the so-called bicycle community or sub-community or whatever you want to call it feels so strongly about riding a bike.
Mm, it's like a religious fervor.
It's like a religious fervor. And, you know, people, all the time, even before we started this, people will refer to riding their bike as a religious experience. Mm. I don't want to go too far down the froofy road there, because I get it. It's just riding a bike. I mean, people say the same things about their Honda CRX, you know, sure, when they were in high school. Like, I get it. It's just it's a feeling you get. However, there is something about riding a bike that puts you in a state of mind, and we recognize that. And the problem was that religion sort of covers that same territory. So what you see is that the bicycle community in general tends to be, now, generalization, a lot of exceptions out there, tends to be non-religious.
Sure.
Not necessarily atheist, mm-hmm, but not practicing religious.
At least taking a break.
Taking a break.
If there was a box that they could check signed, meh.
Yeah, right. They are the meh box. So we get that. Now, I grew up in a very, very religious background. I have a lot of experience. My dad was a preacher. He was a traveling evangelist, and I spent most of my childhood years crisscrossing the country trying to save churches from imploding.
Fascinating.
And giving sermons and leading singings and all that. So I was done doing that kind of thing, and I am done doing that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I have no interest in it. But what I did recognize was that there is something about religion that when people find the right one, they feel better as a person, mm-hmm, and they feel more complete. And so, you know, you can call that what you want. But while there is an overlap between riding a bike and finding a good religion, you get some of the same feelings. It felt like there was a bit of a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea then is to find religions that like you and your bike, or to let you who likes a bike find a religion.
Sure,
right.
and one of the things you guys have done, the Joy of Sects,
right?
Which is
that's gross.
Sects.
The Joy of Sects,
right?
Yes.
As in a sectarian viewpoint, as in like I am a part of this religious sect,
right? And so these are basically just tours of.
Oh, I see what you're doing there.
Yeah. Hey,
it sounds like Carnal Delights,
right? But that was a great idea, because it's just kind of like, you know, there are rides to go and see like all the chicken coops in Portland. But why not a ride to see all of the various religious places?
Right. And we don't just see the places, we participate.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, the main Joy of Sects ride is every year during Pedalpalooza.
Right. Best time of year.
It's awesome. I love it. It's one of the reasons why Portland is ridiculously cool. And during Pedalpalooza, we do a tour. We just grab as many as we can, and we do speed dating for religion.
Yeah.
And we try and make it as diverse as possible. So we literally, like, we'll contact these places in advance and say, hey, I'm going to bring by a group of 50 to 100 people on bikes, and it's you have 10 minutes to convert us.
Right.
Do whatever you can to convert us. Why should we care? Why should we come back and learn more? You have 10 minutes. Give us your best shot, and then we move. And we time it. And so we do everything, you know, we've done monasteries, we've done the, you know, Catholic churches. We've done, you know, synagogues.
Have you done suburban mega churches?
Yes, we've done suburban mega churches. We've done Mormon.
We have a
churches.
Digital projector.
Yeah. Do you like film and movies and music?
Who loves a cappella singing? it's we go and so that's sort of the speed dating. And we do other Joy of Sex rides that are more about just picking a random one and going and attending an entire service, or maybe not a service, whatever they do. Mm-hmm. We went to a pagan, a Wiccan supply place. The guy was a
Wiccan
a,
supply. He was a Christian supply. I got Wiccan supply
right
now.
Right. WWQD. I don't know what.
Yeah. What would Gaia do?
Yeah. Oh, right. WWGD. Yeah. That's too close.
What would goddamn it?
Goddamn it! I forgot what I was going to say.
Exactly.
So the idea is, we are not promoting any religion other than the bicycle, and you know, it's take that as you will. Yes, it's a little sacrilegious, because if you're a purist, you don't want to hear that people feel a religious connection to anything but your religion. Mm-hmm. So we're not for
No, that's just being insecure.
Well, that's a much larger discussion.
Yeah.
So we're maybe not for the purists, but we are for the curious, for mm-hmm. sure. And the idea is that there isn't necessarily a disconnect there. We want to find common ground between folks interested in religion, folks interested in bicycling.
That's pretty great. How long have you been involved?
Well, I was one of the old timers that got it going. You know, I don't remember. Three years? Let's say 3 years.
Sure. All right.
Yeah, it's Ted Bueller, who is a general man about wonk in town. If you need to know anything, just ask Ted.
He's a human wiki.
Involved in Active Right Away, which is another thing I could talk about if you want me to, that I'm involved in. But I met him at a traffic and transportation class at Portland State University, which is this great opportunity if you're interested in transportation planning at all that you should take advantage of. We just got to talking over a beer one night, and I mentioned that I grew up in the religious upbringing that I did, and he said, "Hey, I had this idea for a cult. You want to start a cult?" So, yeah, that sounds great. I've always wanted loyal followers.
That's fantastic.
You know, that has yet to materialize.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. It sounds like you do really interesting things, and it's a very educational sort of process. Like you're creating an experience that people can learn from.
So. Yeah, and you know, it's just as much for us in the group as it is for anyone else. Because I mean, I would have never gone to a Jehovah's Witness meeting had it not been for the bike temple.
Right,
and,
right. I expect few would. So
yeah, it's weird, man. It's not my cup of tea. You know, it was weird. So we took a pilgrimage to. I don't know what your backgrounds are, so I hope I'm not offending.
It's okay.
Any,
I'm
any
an evangelical
industries.
Christian.
Okay, so this is you'll relate, but you won't be offended. Perfect.
You know us.
when the Mormons build a temple. Thank you. When they build a temple,
spend a lot of time reading into them.
Right. When the Mormons build a temple,
it's
only open to the public for 2 weeks.
Mm.
When it's first built,
wow.
And the doors first open, you got 2 weeks to go check it out. And after that, sealed forever.
Forever. So to speak. That's
you can only go...
Mormon sealing thing. Anyways.
Brock has read there all of the Wikipedia articles possible.
No, that seems relatable. Yeah,
sealing is one of their religious rites that happens in the temple where no one can.
It's
a sacrament.
Yeah.
Sealed forever.
So we,
all right, go for it.
So we took a
calm
pilgrimage.
Down, Brock.
Yeah, we get it. So there it is.
That's right. The slow clap.
So we took a pilgrimage up to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought about five of us.
Here there be Mormons.
Because they built a temple in Vancouver.
Sure.
And we went out and rode to it. What was that done? Oh, that was weird. It was weird. Well, mm-hmm. firstly, we went with we have tracts. We printed up these like religious tracts like people will hand you on the street that say, are you going to hell or whatever?
As you do.
Yeah. And so we had a bunch of those, and we were handing them out at the grand opening of the Mormon temple.
Nice.
And they didn't take kindly to it. They didn't exactly kick us out.
Well, Mormons are the nicest people you'll ever meet.
Yeah, well,
unless you cross them.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Unless they don't handle irony well, is that what you're saying?
We were we were assigned a security detail. We were followed by no fewer than half a dozen security ushers, wow, in quotes, at any time.
Brothers.
And brothers, are right.
Right.
And they were wicked mean-looking brothers. They put in their time on the benches for sure. And but it was interesting. But that was one like very unique experience. Like, you know, the only time probably in my life I'll get that chance, unless they don't build a ton of these things.
You got to get in before the window of opportunity closed.
You had to wear special booties because your unholy shoes couldn't touch their floors.
Is that right? Like little paper ones?
Yeah. And you couldn't take pictures. One of the people in the group just took a picture as we were walking into the lobby, and she got
escorted out.
No, but they don't, you know.
Strict talking to.
As passive aggressive as you might expect.
Sure.
And listen,
given
Mormon
culture.
I know I have a lot of respect for people who can dedicate themselves to a faith. I in no way want to offend anybody who follows the Mormon faith.
Right. And I mean, we should say also, I mean, someday I would love to get a pair of Mormon missionaries to come in and talk about their
bicycles. Because they ride on bicycles.
I mean,
absolutely. Well, actually, Ted Buehler
is
an ex-Mormon missionary.
So we should probably talk to him.
He spent time in Hong Kong.
Okay.
And bicycle all around. So yeah.
Anyways,
the whole thing, suit and badge.
Yeah. So of course, we mean no offense to anyone.
Any Schwinn twins out there?
Well, I hope that people can make fun of
Schwinn twins.
How's that for passive progressive?
I hope that people can make light of my religious situation just as easily as I can them. That's sort of the idea behind it. It's like, don't take yourself too seriously because you're probably doing something wrong. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's the tiniest thing.
No one's perfect.
Nobody's perfect. Yeah. And that's the Bike Temple.
Thank you, Amos. Thanks for explaining that. I really appreciate it. We should explain the beer because we didn't talk about that at all on tape. So tell me about the beer real quick and then we'll close the show out.
Well, this is... I'm trying to think of a lie to cover up that...
It's Rock Bottom Brewery. Yeah. I mean, there's no getting past good.
Here's what happened.
Are they like the Panera of beer or what?
Yeah, but that's not
necessarily... They're like the Olive Garden of beer.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So I was downtown and I was lurking on the Occupy protest because I wanted to see bike cops. There's like 50 bike cops downtown.
We should have
amazing.
A bike cop on the show.
Oh, we really should.
Hey, Robert Pickett. Oh, he moved.
Yeah,
oh,
I know.
He's the best guy in the world. Anyway, I was downtown taking pictures of bike cops because I love doing that kind of thing. And I just got so caught up in it and there was like some action and they were marching and it was fun and everyone was like, eh. And
it's like a Broadway musical. And they had great.
We're against big business. Anyway, I ducked out of the conga line and I looked at my phone and I realized that I didn't have time to go to Hair of the Dog like I wanted. So the only place I had time to go was Rock Bottom Brewery, and I got their seasonal wheat. And I gotta say, it's not too bad. It's what do you guys think? It's certainly fruity.
Yeah, it's you said
no.
What,
I mean that there is fruit in it.
We're already talking in those.
No, it's tasty though. It's got all those. Is it citrus notes or what? What do you call that?
Citrus notes. No, Brock, hang on. You never use the word notes if it's already got fruit in it.
Like, okay.
It's not wrong to put fruit in beer. I've done it.
Sure.
Just don't say notes.
Well, and I don't think it qualifies as notes if it, in fact, tastes like a fruit. Like, it's not notes. It's
it's blatant fruit taste.
It's direction. It's orchestration, right?
Well, in that case, I'm going to close out the show.
Now that we're dogpiling on you. You fucking idiot.
Good times.
No, it tastes like a nectarine. It's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Thank you for bringing it in, sir. We're going to write you a check for this. All right. You can find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send us feedback about the program, suggestions for topics, guests, or drinks. Our email address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. We're now on the Twitter at sprocketpodcast. You can call and leave us a message at 503-847-9774. Ryan J. Lane gave us a theme music. He's on the internet at myspace.com/RyanJLane. And Hurtbird gave us our other stuff, hurtbirdmusic.com. All right. You guys have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next time.
Best week ever.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Best week ever.
Ever. So help yourself to that as well.
Okay. Hey, I'll turn that up.
Oh, is that yours?
Yeah.
Please.
Somebody asking how the recording's going.
Hold it, Clay.
Thanks, Dick.
Did they really?
Yeah, it's great, asshole.
Was that seriously a text message saying, how's that? That's awesome. That's the coolest thing. Tell you what, leave it on. And
every time they come through.
As they send you updates, we'll actually talk about them as they show up. Not for long, but we'll mention that they happened.
This one's just a naked picture. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's somewhat
There'll be
different.
No sexting on the
no sexting on the air, sir.
In the champagne room.
That's right.